Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Fellas are out today. We're filling in. Luke Morrow with you alongside Chris Partee, and we're taking it to the top of the hour before handing things off to the fellas with the drive. As Sean Bajani's in for Ron today alongside Clint Sterner, and they're out on the road once again. Today they're at Home Run Dugout in Katy, which admittedly I haven't been to yet. I've always wanted to go. I've been saying that now for multiple years at this point, since they opened, it seemed. It's really cool. It seems really cool, at least. I haven't been out there. I'm sure the guys will have a lot of fun. We'll talk about them at the talk about it with them at the top of the hour. So you could get some swings in there. You could get some drinks, and you could get some actual baseball hacks in as well. So
swings,
it's
cool. And wings.
That's right. It's like Top Golf, but for baseball type of ideal. So pretty cool. That's coming up at the top of the hour. Hey, we'll play a Would You Rather Houston edition in just a moment. But catching up on the text line, as we like to do around here, you can always text the show 713-572-4610. We were talking last segment about Sunday's game for the Texans. Mel on the text line says, play the game without any starters. That way, the Texans can't brag if they win, and they'll feel like schmucks if they lose. Goes back to kind of that whole wrestling the girl example. It's a lose-lose. And I guess the Texans' backups in this case would be like the girl on the wrestling team. 713 says, if Stroud had been playing better, I would agree to sit him. To me, he's the main one who needs to play. Look, I'm with you.
That's where I'm at.
He hasn't been playing well enough.
One of them.
My whole case is just I think the rest will do better for him mentally. Give him an extra week off because I think this is more mental. I think the extra week off, the break will do better for him than trotting him back out there because you've had 17 weeks so far to fix it. I don't think one more week will make a huge difference in that sense. So you might as well try to go the other direction of giving him time off, resetting, clearing that mind. He played better coming out of the bye week a couple weeks back. I think the time off for a young quarterback to regroup, to go over some things, you know, to look at some things differently, I think that's better than going out there and trying to figure it out one last time before the playoffs. But we disagree on
that.
Yeah,
I still can't get on board with it. I need to see something. I need to see CJ out there. Like I said, a quarter, two quarters. Doesn't have to be the whole game. Like Nico mentioned, playing the whole game. Doesn't have to be the whole game. But give me something. Let me see something. I just think sometimes, if it is something mental, I think you can get even more in your head being away like that. That's just me. That's just my take.
Last hour, we asked whose stock rose the most, who's dropped the most in Houston sports in 2024. 979 said Cam Whitmore is rising. He has been playing well lately. We talked about that last night on Area 45. 346 said Texans O-line dropped. Yeah, certainly. So that's why I wanted to circle back this, because I forgot to mention one of mine for the stock rising in 2024. Oh, yeah. The last offensive line coaches that the Texans have fired. They have fired, four since 2020? Probably a fifth one this year. Or maybe it's three. This year will be the fourth. It's hard to keep track. Those guys look a lot better now because the offensive line's still struggling, and they could say, like, I told you, it wasn't my fault. Doesn't matter who else you put in that position, the offensive line's still struggling.
That's crazy that you run through that many, basically one a year.
That's what it's been.
That's what it sounded like. They've got to figure out the offensive line. I just drafting the wrong players. But, I mean, you know, you got Laremy Tunsil. You know, he's back in the Pro Bowl again.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe
to the chagrin of many Texans fans.
That's what it sounded like last night when we talked about that.
Puzzling.
The line has struggled. You can't get it right with the offensive line coaches. You're replacing them on average, it seems, every year. Now you got the offensive coordinator who's been there a couple years, and it looks like he might be on his way out. I just don't know what's going on here with this offense. It's funny, though, because the offensive line has struggled, yet, you know, Joe Mixon's still having a pretty good season.
Yeah. Pro Bowl season.
You can hang your hat on that. You know what I mean? But, you know, as far as dropping back to pass, CJ, yeah, he's just under duress far too much.
Mm-hmm.
He looks scrambled back there. Yeah. Not like scrambling to run the ball, but like he just looks like he just hasn't looked comfortable in the pocket consistently enough this season.
Unfortunately, it's kind of been the Texans' tradition, going back to Carr, even Deshaun dealt with that a lot.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah.
You know, now Stroud's dealing with it.
Yeah.
On YouTube, they said O-line coaches on the Texans equal the annual iPhone update.
Damn.
Yep. They both happen just as frequently. And 936 said, obviously, Bobby Slowick's stock dropped the most. That's what both Chris and I said. But they said maybe the teams who didn't take him last summer as a head coach knew something more than we knew. Interesting thought. Look, Slowick, prior to this season, had been a coordinator for all of 1 year.
Yeah.
That was last year. He was working for Pro Football Focus. Then he latched back on with Kyle Shanahan, who he had worked with previously. And he was with Shanahan for about 5 years there in San Francisco. Young guy, never called plays before. I thought it was still a bit of a gamble for teams to hire him as the head coach after last season because it goes back to what we keep saying. We both like to see it for more than 1 year. He had a good year calling plays last year, but it's like, you know what? First time ever calling plays. You're in your mid-30s. You haven't been coaching all that long.
Yeah.
Seems like a big step to go up to head coach. Now this year we're seeing, obviously, this offense is struggling with him leading the way.
It sounds like it really could have been more of an experience thing. Those teams that he interviewed with, they probably thought he needed a little more experience. That's really what it sounds like.
Which is what I thought.
And then you see what happened this year, and he probably does need a little more experience because we see that it just has not been the same at all.
Yeah. 281 says it's a little bit odd that the ex-players on the station all seem to be in favor of playing the regulars, while the non-players seem not to. I think I've heard Seth the last couple of days in the morning saying he doesn't want at least Stroud out there.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to risk Stroud out there. And I'm not a Knicks player. I want to see the guys play.
Yeah, true. You know, right.
I mean, not an NFL player at least.
Right. So not entirely accurate.
But thank you for mistaking me.
Yeah. Bench Slowick, play Davis Mills, give Stroud the headset from 713. Well, that all leads me to this next conversation. Playing Would You Rather, Houston Sports Edition, because we've been talking about certain changes with each of these three teams. So for the Houston Rockets, the big talk lately, and this is the other movement we started, courtesy of Chris, actually last week on Area 45, bring De'Aaron Fox to Houston for the Rockets.
Hey!
Trade with the Kings, get Fox. For the Texans, the talk is all about new offensive coordinator. Replace Bobby Slowick. We need somebody else running this offense. For the Astros, the concern is that outfield's really poor.
Mm.
Maybe they got some money to spend. They're being linked, the Astros are, to Santander, the outfielder from the Orioles, potentially for $175 million. Bring him into that outfield, add another bat to the lineup. Now we're talking. So, Chris, let me put you on the spot. Would you rather Houston addition here? Which one of those three would you like to see the most or might be the most beneficial for their team? De'Aaron Fox going to the Rockets, Santander signing with the Astros, or the Texans hiring a new offensive coordinator, new play caller, this offseason? You can only choose one. Which would be the best one for the Houston sports scene? Which would be the best one for their team?
I mean, I got to go with my baby. I got to go with De'Aaron
Fox.
I mean, I started the movement. Let's just be honest. I started that movement last week, and it's picked up steam. So, I mean, I got to go with that. We talked about this, especially last night we talked about it. You bring in De'Aaron Fox, that puts the Rockets. Now, they're already ascending. You know what? I think they're third in the West right now, right?
Yep.
And they've been up towards the top for most of the start of this season at this point, at least the last, month and a half, I would say. And it's still early in the season. You know, we haven't even hit the All-Star break yet. We got, about 5 weeks until the All-Star break. But
hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You bring in De'Aaron Fox, like, that puts you in a whole different category of contender. Because right now, they're a playoff contender. Yeah. Probably win their division. Great. NBA, that doesn't mean as much as it does in other sports, winning the division. But you bring in De'Aaron Fox, and depending what you may or may not, or who you may not have to give up to bring him in, you might be talking about a legit title contender with this team. Now, even if it's not this year, you'd have him for another year. And hopefully you could extend him with a contract. I got to go with De'Aaron Fox. I just think he puts them. I mean, we've seen him and what he can do. We talked about this as well. In hoops, in basketball, especially in NBA, you gotta have that guy that can get you a bucket late in games. That can just go get you a bucket at any given time in the clutch. We've seen De'Aaron Fox be able to do that in Sacramento. He's one of those guys. I think he averages, 26 a game, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
He can get you clutch buckets. He can score at three levels. I mean, what more do you want from an NBA, from a scoring threat standpoint? So, yeah, I'm going with the Rockets. You get De'Aaron Fox in. It's a whole different ball game now in Houston for the Rockets. It really is.
Bring in Fox, even if it means slow at calling the plays next year for the Texans. Hard to argue. I think it's between those two. The Santander for the Astros, I don't think that gets them like over the hump to suddenly become a World Series team. You talk about these Texans. I mean, I think the pieces are all there to have a top team in the AFC. Something's obviously not going right, and the easiest fix is to try to change the play caller and put these pieces in the proper place. But yeah, Fox is the other. We've been talking about it all week. I mean, Fox, you get a type of player like that for the Rockets, suddenly now they might be championship contenders as well. So it's tough for me to choose between those two, but it's certainly either Fox or a new play caller. All right, here's another one. And I admit this one is also a little out there, but I figured I'd ask anyways. Here's the scenario. If the Ravens win on Saturday against the Browns, they win their division. So the Texans wouldn't have to worry about facing the Ravens, at least in the first round of the playoffs. But because both Texans and Ravens would be the division winners, the Texans would have to play the Ravens in the regular season next year. So would you rather face the Ravens in the playoffs this year, rip the Band-Aid off, because everybody already believes this Texans team, their season's over. So would you might as well just get that game out of the way? Or would you rather face the Ravens again next year in the regular season when hopefully the Texans are in a better place?
I'll take them again next year. Regular season, because again, it's one regular season game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to keep losing to the same team, but it's one regular season game. If you don't have to play the Ravens in the playoffs, you might win that, especially if you get the Steelers. You might actually win that wild card game, and things look a little different. Now, people will probably still want Bobby Slowick out, no matter how well that game might go, or even this game against the Titans. People will probably still want him out. That, we'll find out in a couple months here if that's going to happen. But no, give me the Ravens next year in the regular season. That's one loss in the regular season. That doesn't break your season, depending on when it happens, obviously.
Right.
That doesn't make or break your season, I should say.
No, but it's just like that PTSD. It'd be like 3 straight years, say they were to lose to the Ravens. Right now, the Ravens are the kryptonite.
And it's just like, I get
this damn team again.
I get it.
Ruining next year's going to be Thanksgiving. on the text line, 281 says Dalton Schultz stock has dropped the furthest in 2024.
Okay. He's on that list.
Yeah, he has had a disappointing year. Mm. Our question of the day was, who have you been told you look like? This stemmed from me being confused for Sean Bajani last night by the security guard here in the building. On the text
I was there
line,
for that moment. It was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, I kind of felt bad for the guy. He felt a little embarrassed.
He really thought you were Sean.
He did. And he said, I thought I heard Sean driving in. And granted, Sean was on before us. But I don't know. When did his shift start? Did his shift start before 6 o'clock? It was after midnight when we saw him.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I think he was the overnight. I think he was listening to us thinking I was him.
I think so.
Yeah. On the text line, 832 said Mr. Bean. Rowan Atkinson. That's probably not great. but hopefully you.
But if you're as funny as him, I mean, you know, it's not yeah.
Bad. Hopefully you talk more than Mr. Bean. 832 said, I've been told I looked like Prince Fielder and CeCe Sabathia in high school. And I used to be called Grand Pooba from Brandon Nubian because I was clean shaven.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that last
rap,
one. But,
rap group.
Oh, okay.
Hip hop group from the early 90s, mid 90s. Yeah.
Prince Fielder, CeCe Sabathia. Not bad.
Okay.
346 says Luke Combs. These are all bigger fellas. 281 says Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad. Not an advantage. I guess not his role from Breaking Bad. But
wait,
Cranston,
he said not an advantage?
That's what he said.
I mean, he was pretty cool in that role, though. Like he
cool.
He gained a lot of. I mean, because he'd been around for a long time before
yeah.
that. What was the show he was
Malcolm
on?
Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, Malcolm
They're
in the Middle.
Bringing it back
when he had hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
He is the one who knocks.
Go back and look at Bryan Cranston on Seinfeld.
Yes, he was on Seinfeld
Tim
as well.
Wiley in the 90s.
Yes.
Pretty good looking guy back
yeah.
in the day.
Yeah.
Intimidating, you know, with the bald head and the mustache and everything, that's become like now that intimidating look.
But that
like
was the role,
man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it fit that role.
I think that's pretty good. Then people might be afraid of you when they see you
they
walking
be.
Like that.
Just walk around intimidating everybody.
Yeah.
Now,
that's good.
Now, I'm not that old, but I'm 24, but...
We know, Colin, thanks. we got it.
Are you going to ask what Seinfeld is?
No, I'm not. No. But what was it like for people to like see Bryan Cranston take on that role, because you know he was in the comedies, but then it's like then he's like taking a very serious role as a high school chem teacher turned a you know meth cook.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, having watched Malcolm in the Middle and you know knowing that he was on Seinfeld and he had a lot of roles, like
yeah.
he was in a lot of things in the 90s and early 2000s, you know, before Breaking Bad, but it took me a few episodes to kind of get used to him in that role. But once I kind of, you know, I guess accepted that, I was all in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a great
I was
actor.
All in. He is a great actor. He's awesome.
Huge baseball fan, too. More just keep pouring in. What was the one I was looking for? Oh, a young Robert De Niro and then Philip Rivers as well. That's pretty good. I'd take a young De Niro. That guy was a stud back in the day.
Yeah, De Niro, yeah.
He's still knocking up women in his 80s. Come on.
Yeah, didn't he just have a baby not too long ago?
Oh, yeah.
Like earlier, I guess in 24?
I thought that was Al Pacino.
Both.
No.
Both of them.
Oh, both of them?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Hey, man. Getting it in.
It's the way. I mean.
Get it in.
What was it? Andrew Cuomo was the governor in New York, and he got impeached because of a sexual assault scandal thing, and his excuse was, I'm just Italian. You know, we're very handsy people. So it's the same thing. De Niro, Pacino.
Oh, my
still,
God.
It's hey, what can
That's
you do?
That's the excuse, huh?
That's what he said. Sorry, I was taken the wrong way. I'm just an Italian guy. Yeah, I'm very handsy. I'm very friendly. I'm very friendly. That's what De Niro and Pacino, same deal.
Goodness gracious.
He's Italians. Say it as one. I was often told I look like Michael Keaton. Love Michael Keaton.
Okay.
That's a good one. So many on here. Yeah, anyways. I've been told I look like the American Sniper. That's cool. We got a Franco Harris one in here. Somebody said Michael Jordan when I was younger. Okay, let's relax.
Wait, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, when they were younger. That's a pretty good one.
So who they look like now then? They're older.
Yeah, Scottie Pippen.
Oh my.
Horace Grant.
Horace Grant.
832 said I've been told by multiple people I look like Justin Verlander.
Okay.
Hello, Kate Upton.
Yeah, I'm about to say, ain't he married to Kate Upton? They're still married, right?
Yeah.
Are they? Yeah,
yeah so. They are. They
yeah.
are.
Okay.
Someone said, I've gotten Mel Gibson several times. I used to like it until he went crazy.
Ba-dum-bum.
And the other one, I was told I looked like Charles Robinson, the guy that played on the original Night Court, .. He's my father. Is that? I don't know if that's serious or if that's a joke.
The big guy?
Yeah, I guess so. On the original Night Court. Is he actually your father? Because that's pretty cool.
Yeah, please let us
From
know.
From the 912.
Yeah, let us know.
Appreciate you listening. Someone said John Mayer.
I like Night Court, too. I watched that show a little bit.
They
back
brought it
day.
Back. Talking about all this stuff.
It didn't last long, though, right?
I don't know.
I don't think it lasted. I remember hearing about that.
Bringing these shows back.
I told you, Hollywood, all out of fresh ideas.
Yeah, let's get something new. Hey, speaking of fresh, we usually do Figgy's mixtape this time of day. Obviously, Figgy is still out. Colin, you taking charge of this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'll never replace the great Figgy Fig.
My older brother.
Yeah.
Apparently.
But I'll try my best this time. Officials, you know, there was a controversial call in the Arizona State-Texas game, the targeting call, and it kind of got me thinking, man, it's always something critical, negatively wise for officials. But what about the times where they make you smile? The funny moments. I got quite a couple here. I think I could go all day if I could, but I got a couple here.
Awesome. Let's do it. Let's build up those officials. We'll do it next. It's In the Loop.